Okay, so welcome back to Shmuel Beis. We're learning Perek Chaf Dalet tonight. A very interesting Perek here. And, okay, I can't do that. There we go. very interesting Perek. It's the last Perek of Shmuel Beis, as we know. And we start out with, you know, kind of a, with a bang. By Yosef af Hashem lacharos bi Yisrael. And Hashem continued to be angry at Bnei Yisrael. Continued to be angry at Bnei Yisrael. By Yosef es David bahem lemor. And he convinced. By Yosef, like a mesis. He convinced, like a mesis umediach. He convinced David, saying, Leich Mineas Yisrael Ves Yehuda. Go count Bnei Yisrael and Yehuda. Go count Bnei Yisrael and Yehuda. Now, it's not clear here why he's angry. What is Hashem angry about? Right? We didn't read anything recently that should make Hashem so angry. And the Mefarshim all say it's not clear. Rashi says himself right here. I don't know, it doesn't say why Hashem is angry. The Radak says, had David noticed anything, if something was going on in Bnei Yisrael, within Bnei Yisrael, that they were sinning, they were doing something wrong, so then David would have worked to abolish it, right? David HaMelech, you know, would have done something to abolish the chait. Not clear what's going on here. You know what the chait is. So the Radak suggests here that maybe this additional anger, Vayosef af Hashem, like additional anger of Hashem, it's in addition to the anger following the episodes of Avshalom, right? And we know the whole story with Avshalom, even though technically speaking, the story of Avshalom we learned was really partially to punish David for the things that he had done, okay? It was also to punish Bnei Yisrael for their hidden averos, for the things that went on behind the scenes. And so to here, so maybe the additional anger is additionally, Hashem got angry following the episode of Avshalom, which made Hashem angry. Additionally, Hashem got angry because of other hidden averos that we don't know about. We don't know, but there were things going on behind the scenes, you know, hidden averos that were going on behind the scenes. So the famine was a punishment. The famine was a punishment, right? Right. Yeah, but apparently there were still things going on, you know, behind the scenes. Again, we don't know about that, right? There were still things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Now, it's interesting, you know, the Vayoses Es-David. So the Radak says this was the Yetzer Hara. Hashem incited the David's Yetzer Hara to do something which we'll see is going to cause a plague. It's going to cause terrible things to happen to Bnei Yisrael. And he convinced David to count Bnei Yisrael. Now we know, we don't count Jews. Hoshea es amecho varech es nachal asecha, right? We count using some other sort of medium. So we use a pasuk when we count Jews in the Torah, Parshas Kisisa. It says that they use the machzis hashekel, Kisisa es rosh Bnei Yisrael of kudehem, v'nosnu ish kofer nafshol Hashem b'vkorosam. Every person has to give a kofer nafshol. You have to give a machzis hashekel. You have to give something. And what does the pasuk say? V'lo yihyev ohem negef b'vkorosam. So the Torah is very clear that if you do count the Jewish people, if you do count Bnei Yisrael, that will lead to a negef, will lead to a magefa, will lead to something terrible. Now, why will it lead to something terrible? What's so bad about counting? What's so bad about counting Bnei Yisrael? So the Malbim says here, he says there are three things that can happen when you count. Number one, Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara. Now, Ayin Hara, there's different ways of understanding Ayin Hara, but basically the idea of Ayin Hara is that when you're counting something and it's something that others can be jealous of. So I'm counting my assets. I'm counting my grandchildren. I'm counting my, you know, the number of cars that I have in my driveway. Whatever I'm counting that could make other people jealous, that can cause an ayin hara. And there's different ways of understanding the ayin hara. The Malbim seems to go with the approach that there's really something physical that can happen, which can cause a person's death because of ayin hara. The ayin hara can really cause something physical. He describes it exactly. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what he means by his description, but he's describing some sort of physical, you know, problem that can result from an ayin hara. That's problem number one when you count something. Problem number two, the Gemara tells us, and the Mitzudas David also quotes this in a couple of psukim later. The Gemara tells us in Tainus on Daf Ches, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein Abrocha Mitzuya, Ela B'davar Hasamui Min Ha'ayin. That bracha is only found when something is hidden from the eye. Shenemar quotes a pasuk, Yitzav Hashem Itcha Es Habracha, Ba'asa Mecha. So literally, Ba'asa Mecha means in your storehouses, right? In your silos. But Ba'asa Mecha, we also have the allusion here, Davar Hasamui Min Ha'ayin, that it's hidden. Something hidden. That's bracha is only found by something hidden. So once you count something, it's no longer hidden. And now if it's not hidden, you're not going to have the bracha. Now the Malbim explains this a little bit more. And he says that, you know, the whole world is subject to the mazalos. It's somewhere the whole world is subject to teva, subject to the mazalos. But we say, Chazal tell us, ein mazal Yisrael. That B'nai Yisrael are not subject to the mazalos. B'nai Yisrael are subject to a special hashkacha from Hashem. Rosh Baruch Hu is the one who looks out for us. And he maneuvers all the pieces for us to make sure that B'nai Yisrael is taken care of. That's B'nai Yisrael. Now, so let's just think about this for a minute. If we don't know exactly how many Yidden there are in the world, so now it's relatively easy for Hashem to perform a Nes Nister, a hidden miracle, and B'nai Yisrael can multiply. I mean, multiply in an unnatural way. And it's not such a big deal because it's a nice nister because we don't know how many Jews there are anyway. But once we count the number of Jews, now we know a number. Now for Hashem to do something and to balloon that number, that's a nice nigla. That's a nice nigla. So that's how the Malbim explains that bracha is only found in something that's samoy min ha'ayin. It's very interesting. Based on this argument, this is a little bit of a tangent. You'll forgive me for a moment. But when a couple is expecting, so one of the things that is commonly done nowadays is genetic testing. So some genetic testing is very important because you can sometimes detect defects in the developing fetus. And then there are some things that some interventions they can do in utero, sometimes interventions that they need to do right when the baby is born. So if they're aware of it and they know there's an issue, right when the baby's born, they whisk the baby off into the OR and they do an operation and they can save a baby's life. So those are very important. But there are many other genetic tests that they do, which honestly, in halachic terminology, there's no nafkamina. There's nothing you're going to be able to do about it, right? I mean, they check for Down syndrome. They check for all sorts of other things. And if you find out that it's there, okay, azoy is. That's the situation. There's nothing to do about it. There's no intervention. There's nothing you could change. There's nothing you can adapt. And there are poskim that say that those tests should not be done. Should not be done. Why? Why should they not be done? The tests where you can detect something and maybe intervene. Okay, of course you can do those, right? But if you're just testing for something where there's nothing to do about it, it is what it is, whatever it is, it is. So then you shouldn't test for that. Why? Because as long as you don't know about it, it's samui min ha'ayin. It's subject to the bracha, like the Gemara says. It's subject to bracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu could change it like this. Nobody will never know. It's a nes nister. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't nisim nistarim all the time. But if you do a test and you find out that there's problem X, Y, or Z, now for Hashem to change that, that's a nes nigla. That's not so simple. Hashem's not going to do that so fast. A nes nigla, Hashem doesn't do nisim gluyim so quickly these days. Nisim Nistarim, yes, but Nisim Gluyim, not so much. So because of that, based on this logic, there are those that say, those poskim that say, that if there's some sort of a condition that there's nothing to do about it, don't test for it. Whatever happens, you'll find that way when you give birth. But otherwise, just, Ein Abrach Mitzuya L'Bedavar Asam Mimina Ayin. Very interesting. Okay. Now, number three, says the Malbim, third reason why why counting brings a magefa is because as long as you don't count the Jewish people, you view them as one unit. Klal Yisrael, says the Malbim, in that one unit of Klal Yisrael, there are tremendous zechusim. Why? Because you're part of the Klal. You're part of the Tzibur. But once we start counting and we say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so now everybody is their own individual unit. If I'm my own individual unit, so now the microscope gets shown on me. Okay, what are his chatoim? What are his averos? What are the things he did wrong? Now I have the spotlight on me. As long as we don't count the Nei, so there's no spotlight on me because I'm just part of the klal. I'm part of the tzibur. That's a tremendous chus. Once you count, you individuate everyone, and now everyone's an individual. Now the spotlight goes and everybody and looks at everybody's averos and everybody's chatoim. And then we don't have as many zechusim as we had before. Says the Malbim, these are the three reasons why counting causes magefa, causes a negef, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa. And that's what we're going to see here, exactly what happens. Okay. So that's just an introduction. But this is what, because of Hashem's Charon Af, and again, we're not sure what the Charon Af is about, but there must have been some sort of chataim, some sort of sins here under the surface. And now because of this Charon Af, Kadosh Baruch Hu incites David's Yetzer Hara. David's Yetzer Hara gets the best of him. Leich Bnei Yisrael, go count Bnei Yisrael. Now, why would David want to count Bnei Yisrael? Right? He's got to have a reason to do it. It's not just the Yetzer Hara is telling him. There must be a reason for him to do it now. So what's the reason? What is his Yetzer Hara telling him? Go count Bnei Yisrael. So the Malbim explains that if you look all throughout Tanakh, when we talk about counting, and we have a few censuses, well, I don't know what the plural of census is. Censuses? Yeah? A few different censuses in Tanakh. You have two in the Chumash, right? You have one in Bamidbar, and you have one in Arvos Moav, so you have two in the Chumash, at least, right? I mean, the census of all Bnei Yisrael. You find one that Shaul did. You have this one that David did. You have several. So the Malbim says that there are four terms that are used regarding a census. Number one is the Shoresh Safer, Samech Fei Resh, right? That's one Shoresh that's used. Okay, like Mispar, that's number one. Number two, you have the Shoresh of Pakad, Pei Kuf Dalid, right? Pakod Yivkod Elokim Eschem. Well, that's not really counting, but you have the shoresh of Pekuf Dalit. You have the shoresh of Mana Mem Nun Hey. Okay. And you also have the shoresh of Nasa, like Naso Es Rosh, Nun Sin Aleph. These are the four terms that are used in Tanakh for counting. What's the difference between these terms? So, of course, that's why you have the Malbim, right? So the Malbim says that there are differences between all these terms. The shoresh of Samach Feiresh, Mispar, right? Lispor, that is individual numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, that's Lisaper, right? That's Lispor. That's the count individual numbers. Pei Kuf Dalet, that is to know the sum of something, to know the total of something, or if there's a specific purpose for the counting. Sometimes a king wants to count because he wants to know how many soldiers he has. There's a purpose to his counting. So it's either to know the sum total or to know the purpose. Mana mem nun hey, that is to determine if something is missing from a total. I want to count something to see if something is missing. And naso nun sin aleph, that's a language of chashivus. And that's a counting that leads to some sort of chashivus, some sort of promotion, elevation. That's naso. And he brings psukim and he correlates this to all the different countings in Tanakh. He says, interestingly, if you look in the Torah only uses two terms. Pei Kuf Dalet, right? Pakod, and Nun Sin Aleph Naso. Because in the Torah, it wants the total number of Bnei Yisrael, and it's a counting of Chashivus. Naso is Rosh. Okay? And that's why he says, if you look in the Torah, there is no plague. There's no plague. Now, there is a Machlokes Rishonim, whether it's Aser, to count without some sort of a median, like without a shekel, which that's what it sounds like from the Pashup Shot and the Pasuk. And that's Rashi's approach and the Ramban's approach. And that's what they say David's mistake here was. If you look, David's not going to, he's not going to count using a machzis and a shekel or anything like that. He's just going to count people. So they say that was his approach. However, the Abar Benel and other Mefarshim understand, they disagree. And they say there is no Isser to count without a shekel. You can count straight. You can count plain. And they say that the plague, the Negev, comes from the reasons that we spoke about, the Ayin Hara, the bringing something out into the open, and individuating members of Bnei Yisrael. And those things did not apply in the Torah, right? Because in the Torah, there was no Ayin Hara. We're counting the Jewish people. There's no Ayin Hara here. And number two, the bracha is only found with davar that's samoy min ha'ayin. So there also, you don't have, it's not really an issue in terms of increasing the number of Bnei Yisrael. And number three, you have a schus when everybody's together. We're counting big numbers. We're looking for the sum. We don't count individuals. You look in the Torah, it has a number for a shevet, a number for all of Klal Yisrael, a total number. We're not individuating people, right? We're not individuating people. So that's why he says in the Torah, there was no negative because these things didn't apply. But here, we have all the terms that are used. All the terms of counting are used in this parsha, except for Naso. I don't think Naso is used, but the other three are used. And that's because David, he says, was afraid. After the incident of Avshalom and Sheva, until Avshalom and Sheva ben Bichri, he was confident he had his supporters. Yeah, there were people that were on Shaul's side, fine. But once Shaul was out of the picture, everybody supported David. But then all of a sudden, we have the rebellion of Avshalom. Then all of a sudden, we have the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri. And David starts to wonder to himself, wait a minute, is everybody really behind me? Are all these people really supporting me? Or maybe not. Maybe they're going to support somebody else. Maybe they're going to rebel again. And that's why David counted. David was afraid of losing supporters. He was afraid of losing people. And that's why it says it uses the term mana here, mem nun hey. Why? Because that type of counting is to determine is anything missing. David wants a record of exactly how many people are there, how many people are supporting him, so that when he goes to battle and he counts his soldiers, he could see, does the count that I'm doing now match up to this baseline count that he's doing? Or am I missing people? Am I missing soldiers? That there are people that are defecting, that are rebelling, that are not supporting me. That's what David was concerned about, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu got him worried about as a result of the Charonaf. Slowing down.
So one now, I'm just saying, here's the baton for the next guy, my son Shlomo.
Right. So, yeah, I hear you. Hold on, let me just answer his question, then I'll take your point. So I think that you're right. David definitely is slowing down, but at the end of the day, he's not done. Meaning he may not be leading them out into battle anymore, but his armies are still going to be fighting. Right? The wars are not going to stop just because he's getting older. Right? So I think he still has that in the back of his mind. He's got to make sure he has the supporters and the soldiers. Yeah.
Going from a different source. David HaMelech did not rely on people at all. He is promised land, and he is the highest expectation is the Creator. He said in Tehillim, if Hashem is with me, who is against? And he knew, even though all this charade that was running around from Shaul HaMelech, he was hiding, that's all a game. He knew that he was going to be king in the end. And that proved. When the enemies came and took Ziklag, his own people want to kill him. They're blaming him, right? They need somebody to blame.
Right.
He got in contact with Hashem and he said to Hashem, if I go against them, would they be victorious? Hashem guaranteed. And he went and he was victorious. David HaMelech was not an ordinary man. We are ordinary men. Not even you ordinary men, but we are. He was had a connection with Hashem himself.
Right. Absolutely.
And if a person has a connection with Hashem himself, who can do something to him? But the Zohar or regular to do anybody.
100%.
So agreed. All this counting and all that, that's, remember Yosef HaTzadik? He was holding a bottle, like a bottle was giving him about the news about the brothers. He knew about them all the way. They believed them. They were, what's going on? This guy talks to a bottle and he knows everything. It's a game. The reality is MS. Moshe MS, Torah MS. The reality is when you're in touch with the MS,
that's it.
Man, nobody can go against you. You kidding?
Beautiful. Good.
That's what I want.
Good. Beautiful. Very nice. Good. Okay, good.
Let's people are important.
Yes.
But Hashem is more important.
100%. 100%. Good. Okay, let's continue with Pasuk Beis. Good. Excellent. Pasuk Beis. Vayomer HaMelech El Yoav Sar HaChayil. Now here, David's not going to do this himself. Right? David's not going to do this himself. David's going to appoint someone else to carry out, to do his dirty work, so to speak. So he tells Yoav, Sar HaChayil, the general, Asher Ito, Shutma b'chol shivte Yisrael midon va'ad be'er sheva. Go and go through the entire land from Dan to Be'er Sheva. Ufikdu es ha'am v'yadati es mispar ha'am. And you see, like the terms, right? The Malbim. Now that we're sensitive to the terms, ufikdu es ha'am v'yadati es mispar ha'am. David says, "I want to know. I want to know the number. I want to know the total number. I want a baseline." Go and count everyone. Now, the Mefarshim say here, the Radak, especially in the first Pasuk, says that Yoav did not really want to do this. Right? Yoav had his marching orders here, but he didn't really want to do this. Why? Because Yoav knew the Pasuk in Kisisa. Yoav knew the Pasuk in the Torah, right? That Velo Yebahem Negev, Bifkoto, somebody says, well, 1 second. He's telling me to count. That's not a good idea, but he can't tell that to David. Right, but he doesn't want to do it. He thinks it's something unnecessary. It's going to bring a terrible calamity. Vayomer Yoav al HaMelech. So Yoav says to the king. Yoav says to David, "V'Yosef Hashem Elokecha el Ha'am Kaheim v'Chaheim Meya Pe'amim." He's giving a bracha. Yoav's giving a bracha. Says Rashi that Bnei Yisrael should double and double again and continue to double 100 times. 100 times over. Ve'enei Adoni HaMelech ro'os, Adoni HaMelech lama chafetz badavar hazeh. So he questions him. He says, what do you want to do this? You know, you see that Bnei Yisrael has a bracha. You see what's going on here. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to count Bnei Yisrael? And you might just have a problem. You might have a problem if you do this. Rashi points out here that the bracha that Yoav gives is even greater than Moshe. Moshe says that language in the pasuk is kachem elaf pe'amim, 1,000 times. The Bnei Yisrael should multiply 1,000 times over. But here, because of the way he says it, kachem v'chachem mea pe'amim. So it's doubling, right? It should double and double again and continue to double 100 times, which is going to be way more than multiplying 1,000 times. I'm sorry? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
As far as of Shalom.
Yeah.
100,000% it was Moira de Malchus. And he's ready, Achitophel, King Winston, to do that. Everybody in Israel knew that David was appointed by Hashem and
right.
Shmuel. Everybody knew that.
Right.
But his desire, like Putin, don't belong to me, but I want it. And he was even going against what he would have when he wanted to kill his father.
Yeah, right.
The entire thing. He didn't even care about the peace of Yom. Even if he was successful,
right?
People would say, you killed your father.
Right, right.
Look what Shimi said to David. Shimi, he said, you are king killer. You killed the family of Shaul. He didn't forget that. And
yeah.
You think the people would forget that he killed his father?
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I
and
hear
that. And a Bizayon like that
right.
Doesn't want any kingdom.
That's right. Okay, good. Posuk Dalev, Ayechazak Tevar HaMelech El Yoav. So David did not back down. He strengthened his resolve in the face of Yoav's questioning. The Al-Sore Hechayil and all the soldiers and the officers that were going to be accompany him, Vayetze Yoav Asari Achai Lifnei Amelech Lifkodes Ha'am Es Yisrael. So they went out. They had no choice. David wouldn't back down. They had to go do it. They had to go count. Vayavru Es HaYardein. Vayachanu Va'aroer. They crossed the Yardein from Eretz Yisrael, from Yerushalayim. They crossed the Yardein to the east, and they settle in Aroer, Yemin Ha'ir, which is outside. It says to the right, but it means outside of the city. Asher B'soch HaNachal, which is in the valley. Hagod Ve'Elyazer. And this was in the land of God. Land of God. And that's where they started. Now Rashi says this was intentional. They could have started anywhere, right? David said me don be aviad be'er sheva. Why'd they start in Eber HaYarden? Why'd they cross over? We know Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe is there. Why'd they start with Gad? So Rashi says that the people of Gad were known to be very strong people, courageous people. And Yoav thought, maybe if I start counting with the people of Gad, they're going to look at us and they're going to say, wait a minute, what are you doing? We don't want to be counted. We don't want a Negev, right? Get out of here. And they're going to put up a fight against Yoav, and that will stop him from doing what he's doing. And he'll come back to David and say, I tried, but they're not letting me count. That was Yoav's plan. Yoav's plan was that the whole thing should fail.
It was not good.
Right. That's why he's starting with God. He wants him to fail. Who?
Yoav.
Yeah. Right. I know. But here he's trying to. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Vav. Vayavo'u ha-gil'oda v'yel eretz tachtim chodshi. So then, okay, they went to God, and God did not put up such a fight, right? They were hoping he would put up a fight. They didn't put up such a fight. So now, what's our next plan? What's plan B? What's our next strategy? So they went to a new settlement, El Eretz Tachtim Chodshi. It was like a new place, a new settlement. There weren't a lot of people there. So this way they felt, there's not a lot of people, right? Only had a few people. So that will also help stall things. It'll go slower. We're schlepping to all of these far-flung places. It's not like we're going to a big city where we can count everyone relatively quickly. We're going to the far-flung Yishuvim, the settlements, you know, the new places. Vayavo'u Dana, and they came to Dan. Ya'an, place was called Ya'an. Visovi Velzidon. They're coming to all these little places because they're hoping that maybe Yoav and his men are hoping, maybe David will regret his decision. And he'll send a messenger and tell us, you know, call off the census. So let's start. We'll travel. We'll go to the far-flung places. We'll go to the little Yishuvim. You know, we'll start slowly. So this way, maybe David will come around and David will call the whole thing off. Pasuk Zayin. Vayavo'u Mivtzar Tzur. V'chol Arei Achivi. But it's not working. David's not canceling it. So they keep going. They have no choice. So they come to this place, Mivtzar Tzur. This was in the land of Asher. The Radak says, and all of the cities of the Chivi, the Aknani, now the Chivi and the Knani still lived in the land of Asher, even though the Chivi and the Knani were part of the seven nations, and Bnei Yisrael were supposed to drive them out. We remember we learned in the very beginning, and we learned in Sefer Yehoshua, that the Shvatim didn't always do what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to kick out all the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They didn't do that. And they let them stay. They didn't want to fight with them. They let them stay. And they collected taxes from them. So that's what the Chivi and the Kanani were still doing there. Asher never drove them out. They were still sitting there. So they went to their cities. Vayetzu al Negev Yehuda Be'er Sheva. And they went from the southern part of Yehuda down to Be'er Sheva. Vayashutu Pasuk Ches V'chol Ha'aretz. Vayavo Miktzei Tisha Chadashim Ve'esrim Yom Yerushalayim. So now, David, of course, hasn't said anything. He hasn't canceled it. They're traveling throughout the entire land. And after 9 months and 20 days of traveling around, conducting the census, they end up back in Yerushalayim. Pasuk Tes. Vayitein Yoav es mispar mifkar ha'am el hamelech. Yoav gives the number, the total number, to the king. Vatihi Yisrael. And how many were they? But he Israel, Shmona Meos Elef, Ish Chayil, Sholef Cherev. So they counted people that were of fighting age, just like in the Torah, right? We count only the people that are of fighting age, people that could join the army. 20 to 60. So there were 800,000 Jews who could fight from Bnei Yisrael. The Ish Yehuda and the people of Yehuda were counted separately, and they were counted, they counted Chamesh Meos Elavish, 500,000. 500,000. Now, now, hold on. Well, we'll talk about the numbers in a second. So Rashi first interestingly points out that why does it say two words? Mifkat, Mispar Mifkat. Right? Why the double Lashon? Some of the Maharshim just say double Lashon is just to, you know, for emphasis. But Rashi says, based on Chazal, that he actually brought two different numbers to David. He brought a smaller number, and then he brought a bigger number. And he was going to give David the smaller number first. And if David would get upset and say, that's it, you know, that's all we have, then he would give him the bigger number. And again, Yoav doesn't want to really provide the number. He doesn't want to really give the number because he believes this whole thing is a mistake, right? This whole counting. Okay. So what's with the numbers? Oh, by the way, right at the outset, Rashi also points out the word Vatehi Yisrael. Vatehi. What's Vatehi? And Yisrael was, just say the number. Vatehi, he says, also implies that Bnei Yisrael were weakened, like Yad Keha. Like Bnei Yisrael were weakened already, because Vatehi also is a feminine language. So they were just like a woman is not generally as physically strong as a man. So Vatehi, that Bnei Yisrael were weakened already. That already just by the fact that Yoav did the census, it took away some of the schus of Klal Yisrael, and they were weakened. They were weakened already. So here it says that the Bnei Yisrael was 800,000 and Yehuda was 500,000. Now all the Mefarshim talk about here, the Radak and Rashi, that if you look in Divrei Hayamim, where we describe this census, it says that Bnei Yisrael was 1.1 million, and Yehuda was 470,000. Gives different numbers. So here we're missing 300,000 from Bnei Yisrael, right? Because here it only says 800,000, and there it says 1.1 million. So we're missing 300,000 people from Bnei Yisrael. So where'd they go? Where'd the 300,000 people go? So Rashi explains that these 300,000 people were already recorded. They were already counted. Why? Because the king had many officers. He had Sari Meos and Sari Alofim, right? Just like you have governors and you have cabinet ministers and you had all sorts of different, officers. So he had 300,000 people that were already working for him, so to speak. Right? These were already working for him. They were already recorded, already counted. He said there were 24,000 from each Shevet. 24,000 times 12 is 288,000. And then the remaining 12,000 were the Nasiim. Right? The remaining 20,000 from each Shevet. These were like the Nasiim, the heads of state, so to speak. So 300,000 were already recorded. And that's why they're not listed here, but in Divrei Hayamim they are. That's one answer Rashi gives. Another answer, you asked before, was Shevet Levi included? So Rashi says that Shevet Levi and Shevet Binyamin were not included. So number one, why not? So Yoav thought he could get away with not counting them, right? And again, Yoav didn't want to count everybody. So he's finding all of these ways to get out of the job he's supposed to do. So he doesn't count Levi. And his logic to himself is, if David gets upset with me that I didn't count Levi, I'll tell him, well, I looked in the Chumash. And in the Chumash, Levi wasn't counted with Bnei Yisrael. So that's why I didn't count Levi. So he has an excuse why he didn't count Levi. And what about Binyamin? Why didn't he count Binyamin? So Binyamin already took a big hit with Pelegish Begiva. Because of Pelegish Begiva, Binyamin lost a lot of people. So there, Yoav said, I have an excuse. I could say I had Rachmanis on them because of Pelegish Begiva. They already lost a lot of people. I didn't want to count them again and risk any sort of negef to Shevet Binyamin. So he left out those two Shvatim, and maybe that's why it was 300,000 people less than it was in Divrei Hayamim. That's another suggestion. Now, what about the 30,000 from Yehuda? Because in Divrei Hayamim it says 500,000, and here it says 470,000. So we're missing 300,000 people. So what happened to the 300,000? I'm sorry. Here it says 500,000. And there it says, 470. So there it's missing 30,000. Thank you. There it's missing 30,000. So what happened to the 30,000? Why in Divrei Hayamim are we missing 30,000 from Shevet Yehuda? So he suggests, maybe this is the Radak, says that maybe those people already died because of the census, right? Because of the Negev, because of the census, they already died, this 30,000 people. Why did Yehuda lose so many people? Because David was from Shevet Yehuda. And since this whole thing was really David's fault, that he did the census, and he's from Shevet Yehuda, so his Shevet lost the most, so to speak, because of this census. Okay. The Mitzvah of David gives another answer. He says maybe the 470,000 were the soldiers. There were another 30,000 men who didn't fight. For whatever reason, they couldn't fight. So they were still counted in Divrei Hayamim, they were still counted here, but not in Divrei Hayamim. That's another way of explaining the discrepancy. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Vayach Lev David Oso Acharei Chein Safar Esha'om. David all of a sudden feels this heavy heart. And he says, did I just do something wrong? Did I just mess up big time? I just counted the people. Maybe that was the wrong thing to do. He had a cheshbon for doing it. Right? The Malbim said he had a cheshbon for doing it. He needed to know about the soldiers and make sure that people were loyal and he had his supporters. But he says to himself, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I did something wrong. Vayomer David al Hashem. And David says to Hashem, Chatasi me'od asher asisi. I sinned. A great sin. I shouldn't have done this, what I just did. Ve'ata Hashem, and now Hashem, haver na es avon avdecha, ki niskalti me'od. I was foolish. I was foolish. So please, just do away with my sin. Right? Forgive it. Do away with my sin. He was afraid, says the Radak, that both he and Bnei Yisrael would be punished because of this chait, because of this census. And, says the Metzudas David, Kiniskalti, I was the one who was foolish. I did something wrong. Don't punish them. Right? Don't punish Bnei Yisrael because of my foolishness. So don't punish them. And they don't deserve to die. They did nothing wrong. Don't punish them and just forget the whole thing. Right? Forgive it. Oh, hold on. So Vayakom David Baboker. So David gets up in the morning. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Udvar Hashem Hoyo El Gad Hanavi Chose David Lemo. And Gad Hanavi is at breakfast. He's got a message for David. Right? Gad Hanavi, and the Pasuk calls him Chose David. The Radak and other Mefarshim say he was called Chose David because all of his Nevuos were for David. He wasn't a Navi that was Menabe for other reasons. He was like David's personal Navi. And all the Nevuos that he had were specifically for David HaMelech. And in fact, the Radak says, interestingly, that this is the only Nevuah that's recorded. He had other Nevuos, but they're not recorded in Tanakh. This is the only Nevuah that's recorded from God HaNavi. I believe so. We had Nasan. Nasan was like the chief Navi at the time. But God was the personal Navi, it sounds like. So, Haloch v'dibarto el David. And this was the Nevuah that God got. Go and speak to David. Says Rashi. Says the Radak. Here he's not called David Avdi. In other places in Tanakh, you see that a Navi is, when he wants to build the Beis HaMikdash, we'll see, he's called David Avdi. Go tell David Avdi. David my servant. He's not called David Avdi here, because this is a patch. Go tell David. Go tell David. Ko amar Hashem. Shalosh anochi notel alecha. I'm giving you a choice of one of three punishments. You did something wrong, and you're going to be punished for it. I'm going to give you three punishments, and you decide which one you want. You decide. You choose the ending, right? You decide which punishment you want of the three. What are these three punishments? All right, maybe we'll just read the three punishments, and then we'll stop for the night. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayovo God el David vayagid lo. So God comes and he tells David this nevuah. Vayomer lo hasavo lecha sheva shanim ra'av be'artzecha. Choice number one. 7 years of famine in your land. Not something starvation. Good. Okay, starvation. Number two. Im shlosha chadashim nuscha lifnei tzarecha v'hurod fecha, or 3 months to be on the run from your enemies. Your enemies will pursue you relentlessly for 3 months. Number two. Number three, v'im heyos shloshes yamim dever be'artzecha, or 3 days of dever. Dever is a plague. 3 days of a plague in your land. People will be dropping dead for 3 days. Ata da'ure'e ma'oshiv sholchi davar. Know and see which one you want, and then I have to return the message to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to know what you're choosing. Okay?
Rabbi.
Hold on one second. So just, we'll end with this, but here it says, interestingly, that 7 years of famine. The Radak points out that in Divrei Hayamim it says only 3 years of famine. So what happened? Why here it's seven and there it's three? So he says it really was 3 years of famine. But remember, we're just coming off the heels of an additional 3 years of famine. There was already 3 years of famine. So now an additional 3 years plus the seventh year will be the Shemitah year, right? So it's essentially going to be like 7 years of famine. So even though it's really the punishment will be only three, 1 second, and that's why everything is three. 3 years of famine, 3 months of an enemy, or 3 days of a magefa. Everything is three, right? Three choices, okay? And we'll see why maybe next week in Mir Tashem, we'll see why the three. Hold on one second. So three, so this is the three, and we'll see. We have to leave on a cliffhanger.
Okay.
So we'll see what he chooses. You have to come back next week to see what he chooses. But these are the three.
Rabbi.
Yeah. Among all the evil, choose the least dangerous.
That's right. So we have to figure out which one is David going to take. Yeah.
Rabbi.
Yes. Yeah, Aaron.
Rabbi, didn't Hashem tell David to count the people at the beginning of the chapter?
No. He never told him to do it. The pasuk says that he basically aroused the Yetzer Hara. Vayoses es David bohem leimor. Lech mineyes Yisrael. It wasn't Hashem's command. That was what the Yetzer Hara was telling him. Now Hashem incited the Yetzer Hara because Hashem was upset. But it was David's Yetzer Hara talking, not Hashem talking.
So he indirectly told him.
Yeah.
So
cliffhanger. We'll have to see what happens next week. What does David HaMelech decide?